Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com.
Hello, and welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhart. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 134. That's right, 134. Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge. So I want to welcome all of you, both longtime and new listeners alike. I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. So I want to let you know that before we go any further, above all things, you should make sure that you remember this one web address. I'm going to cover a lot of stuff on the show. I'll give you other web addresses and I'll show you things. It's going to be cool. But I know that a lot of you like to listen when you're at work, maybe you're at the gym or you're commuting, or you don't have time to be in front of a computer listening. And so you're not going to be able to remember or write down all these other web addresses, which is why I like to give you this one web address for the show notes. And the show notes has everything that I cover in an episode. So if you just remember that you should go to wargamingrecon.com/WR134. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR134. And that will have all the stuff that I cover in the show. So you don't need to remember anything else, but it'll all be there in the show notes. And don't worry, I'll remind you near the end of the episode what that link to the show notes is. So this is, as I said, the Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge episode. So I want to give a shout out, first of all, to listener Adam, because Adam clued me into this a while ago. And this year's Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge, the 2015 Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge, has already ended. And you might be thinking, well, why is Jonathan covering something that already ended? Let me tell you that this is kind of just a recap, a retrospective on it. Because later in 2015, I am going to have the person who's created the Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge. They're going to come on. They're from Canada. They're going to come on. They're going to talk about the 6th annual Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge to kind of hype it up and let people know what's going to be going on. And I want to say that Adam clued me into this and I thought, okay, it's a painting challenge. This is another word for a contest, right? And painting competition. And it's cool. He's going to be entering in it. He's a good painter. Maybe he'll win something and there's going to be other people, whatever. There's a million painting competitions out there, a million painting contests. Anytime you go to a tournament for a game, say you play 40K or Flames of War or whatever, you get judged on what you paint and all that kind of stuff. And as many of you longtime listeners know, I am not a painter. I appreciate what people do when they do paint stuff. I appreciate the time that goes into it. I appreciate the effort and the skill and how beautiful things are. And I really appreciate a beautifully painted model, fantastic piece of terrain. However, it's not for me. I'm a reluctant painter, as I like to call it. So it's something that I do appreciate. And yet I know that I can't get into it because it's not something that I would do, because it takes me like 12 hours to paint something that would take someone else 3 or 4. And I think my end result isn't that great. And since it takes me so much time, I feel that instead of spending all that time painting, for me, I would rather be taking that time to maybe make it a podcast episode for you or playing a game or doing a million other things. And many people love to paint and they can do it and more speedily than I can. They can do it better than I can. They have more fun with it than I do. And I applaud that. I think that's fantastic. But there's something different about the Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge. And as you may have heard, and hopefully not, but on the audio recording, I have some handouts. And for those of you watching live, because this is done live on YouTube, you're able to see in the YouTube video, I'm holding up some of my notes and things that I've written up, and there's highlights and all that kind of stuff. So just make it a little easier for me. Usually when I do an episode of Wargaming Recon, I have all this stuff digitally, and I do have some stuff digitally, but this time I did a little bit of everything, so that way I could have some hard copies of stuff, and then I could also have it digitally. And it's odd, right? Because you're listening to this podcast, you're watching live on YouTube or whatever, and that's all digital, and yet somehow some things are better for me when I podcast if I have it in an analog format. And if I'm going to have a lot of information, it's much better for me to have, you know, a gigantic stack of paper than for me to have a lot of just little miniature notes in my program that I use to kind of keep me on track for my show notes. But let me back up a little bit to explain what the Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge is before I dive into why it's different. I can't state enough that it's not a painting contest. It's not a painting competition. It's not who's the best painter. That's not what it's about. And yet, let me tell you what it is about. So the fifth annual Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge, as I said, is over. It ended early in 2015, but it ran from December 5th, 2014, all the way to the first day of spring, which was March 20th of 2015. And then there's some rules that were done, and I'm presuming, based on other things that I've heard from the man behind it, Kurt, that these rules probably aren't going to be changing for future editions of the hobby, Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge. But for the fifth edition one, in case anyone was interested in how it did go down, figures were allowed to be prepped and primed before the start date of December 5th, but, and this is the key, you weren't allowed to put any paint on them. So you could spray paint them, which you're thinking, you just said you couldn't put paint on it, now you're saying you could spray paint, but you were allowed to prime them. You could do white primer, black primer, whatever, get them all ready. You could cut them out of the sprues, you could clean them up. You know, if you're using plastics, wash them in a little soapy water to get the release agent off of them. Same with the metals, actually, any of the pewters and that kind of stuff. And then as soon as the first day of the challenge, you see, I want to say competition, because how many times do you hear anyone talk about a painting event that's not a competition? Almost never, right? But before this challenge, the painting challenge started, that was all you allowed to do. And I think that's a lot, because I've heard of many times where something like this, say you're going to have a big paint-off, a paint-a-thon day kind of thing, you can't do any of this kind of stuff before. You start from A to Z during the time of the event, and you see how far you go. But I think it was really smart that they allowed this for all the participants. Then as of the first day of the challenge, you got to paint. And in order for a model to be completed, it one had to be painted by the participant. So I couldn't enter and say, you know, I don't have the time. I'm not really that good at it or whatever. I'm going to have Joe Schmo paint it for me. I'm going to have listener Adam. I'm going to have, someone else do it. Can't do that. And then also all the basing has to be done. So it's not just having a painted model, but you have to have it based somewhere. And that makes a lot of sense. So not only does it have to be based, you have to have all that groundwork, whatever, static grass or any other kind of stuff you want to use, clump foliage or anything, but you have to have it properly based. And when you think about it, how is this a model going to stand up? If it's, even if it's just a display piece, you still need to have it based on something. You look at any of those well-known painting competitions. Let's say any of the ones for Games Workshop, for example. You have to have it based. That's part of how you're judged. How is it based? How beautiful is it? How innovative? How creative? Did you do conversions? What else did you do? How did you make it stand out? And how well does it fit in with what the model is and the theme and what you're trying to tell? Does it have to be a diorama where you're telling a story? But yet it still needs to have something that helps it to stand out. So I think this is, again, really cool. And then additionally, your models, they weren't restricted. You could have any type of scale, any type of theme. They could be sci-fi, they could be fantasy, historical, whatever. And one other cool aspect was whenever a participant finished their model or models for that part of the challenge, they had to post them on the Painting Challenge blog that include photos of all the figures and units, plus a short descriptive note, and then there was up-to-date scoring that was maintained. So let me tell you about the scoring a little bit. The scoring is actually really cool. I'm not going to go into all of the details on the scoring, but I'll just cover some of it. So you're not scored by how well the model is painted. You're not scored by, is this model better than the other one? Does the judge like this better? You're scored by, what did you do? What did you actually accomplish? So you got half a point for a 6mm figure on foot, a point for a 10mm figure on foot. Most people are probably going to be doing a 20mm or 28. So 28mm, you got 5 points for a model on foot, 8 points for a 20mm mounted model or an artillery piece or some sort of cannon or a weapon that has a crew with it, 15 points for a 28mm vehicle. And then if you're doing 15mm, say you're doing Flames of War, for example, 2 points for a guy on foot, 4 points for a guy mounted or, again, artillery piece, maybe using an anti-aircraft weapon or something, and 6 points for a vehicle. So you could see if you were doing a bunch of models, say you're doing a whole unit, and you happen to be doing, I'm going to go with 15mm, just because there's been a lot of 15mm lately. You're doing 15mm, actually, no, let's go with 20mm, right? Heck, I'm bouncing around. Let's go with 28mm because the points values are easy to do the math, okay? So let's say you have in the unit 10 guys, 20mm, they're all on foot, 5 points apiece, bam, 50 points, right? And so What do the points matter? When you sign up for the painting challenge, as anyone who did, who wanted to participate in it, you had to set a points value that you thought you could reach. So what was suggested by Kurt for all the participants was, you figure out roughly what you think you're able to do in that time frame from the December to the first day of spring. Figure out what your project will be. How many models do you intend to do? You can tell what the points values would be if you accomplish all that you do. And let's say you think you can do, I don't know, 500 points during the worth of stuff during the competition. When I say points, I'm not saying like Flames of War model in the rule book, it says it's 14 points for this. I'm talking about you completed the 20 millimeter guy on foot. He's worth 5 points. You're thinking, I can do 500 points worth of models between tanks and whatever else. Well, Kurt suggested, and I think this is fantastic because you should really strive to push yourself forward, that all participants just kind of increase that goal a little bit. So if you're thinking I can do 500 points, why don't do 750? Do 600, maybe 1,000. Don't go crazy because you don't want to do too much. But the idea behind this is that if you push yourself a little bit further on the points value of your goal, then you might be able to just get a little bit more, get up and go and get the stuff done and be able to encourage you to really get down at your painting station and get the stuff painted. And on top of that, the points are important because you could get prizes. So there were, let's see, 6 thresholds for prizes. And they were 500 points, 750, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000, and 2,500. And so that each time a participant reached one of those point thresholds, their name got entered into a drawing and you could win whatever the prize was at that level. So if you, say, did 2,500 points worth of stuff, you got out to all 6 thresholds, you would be entered for each of those 6 prizes. You did 500 points, you'd be entered for the first prize. So obviously the lower points value would most likely have more participants being entered for those prizes than the higher level, but you never know. And then on top of that, they had special they weren't mandatory, theme kind of bonus rounds that if you did it for that, you'd get 50 points, but there was a restriction. Well, actually 2 restrictions. One, of course, there's a theme for each of these special bonus rounds. And the second is that you couldn't do any scale less than 15 millimeter. Okay. So the first one was cold. It had to be something that was cold. And I thought that was cool because I remember many, many moons ago, War Game Soldiers and Strategy on their YouTube channel, they had this really great painting tutorial that Christy had done with a Napoleonic figure, I believe. I believe it's actually from Napoleon's army, on how to make it look cold for like the winter in Russia, right? And using blue tones and everything. And I thought it was fantastic to see this tutorial and it worked. It was fantastic. So cold was one. Another was mountain rider, Victorian. Then there was myth, hot, comedic, and then finally anti-hero, which was sort of the overarching theme for the final, for the whole challenge. And then in addition to this, to kind of encourage people to enter who are serious about actually painting, there's an admission fee, an entry fee. An entry fee is actually, it's cool and innovative. For the 5th annual Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge, Kurt asked every participant to paint a single 28mm figure that would be an anti-hero, some sort of rogue or a person of, quote, dubious character, but undeniable charisma, unquote. The participant had to get the model themselves, they had to paint them themselves, and then send the model into Kurt, mail it into Kurt. And that for each model that Kurt received from each participant, he was going to donate $5 to the Saskatchewan branch of the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, which I think is really, really cool. For the 5th annual Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge, there were some other cool things that were done. There's a lot of people who entered, actually. And I believe that Kurt said it's something like 70 people. 72 people actually entered for the 5th one, and that's a lot of people, right? One thing that he wanted to do to make sure that everyone's entries weren't just going up, say, on the same day, was that he was restricting how often you could put entries up. So for the first week and for the final week of the challenge, you could put up as much as you wanted. And there were special, you know, things that were going on with this. You could post every day, 5 times a day, whatever. You could do that depending on how quickly you painted and how quickly you got the stuff done. After that point, you were only allowed to post once a week on your designated day. So some people post it on Sundays, some people on Thursdays and so forth. Listener Adam, for example, who entered in this and did really well, actually, he got Mondays. If I remember correctly, there were 12 people who posted on Mondays. So you log in on a Monday and you could see everyone's posts with all their photos of all the stuff. And there's a lot of really cool things that were done on there. One that I'm going to highlight, and this actually isn't Adam's entry, but one that was done earlier on in the Patreon challenge is a 20 millimeter, Wurttemberg horse artillery, that participant Ben G got, and he got 23 points for it. As you can guess, the reason why I'm highlighting this is it's a cannon, right? It's artillery, and I love artillery. So, that's when I was just kind of looking through the painting challenge blog the other day, I came across it and I said, ooh, and it looks really nice. So, you know, it fits. He's actually aiming for, or he aimed rather for a target of 400 points worth of stuff. And this is a special project that he had been wanting to do for ages. So participant Ben was like, hey, I can do the painting challenge and get my project done and work on it. And what was really cool about this, and one of the reasons why I like that, it's not just posting a photo or numerous photos. Each person got to post, you know, the photos as was done. So you could see different angles and everything, which is cool, but you could see that on Cool Mini or not or any of that kind of stuff. On top of that, there was a requirement to post little info blobs of text, little blurbs. So for example, I got to learn that this particular piece, it's a 1/72 scale plastic from Hat Industry. It's set 8232. So should I want to go and buy this? I might, as you guys know, I love Hat. I think Hat Industry makes really great soft plastic 1/72 scale models. I bought a ton of stuff for Hail Caesar, and then I had to buy some from some other manufacturers because Hat Industry, Imperial Romans were just out of stock for most of the stuff that I wanted. But they're just great models, very affordable too. At the Hobby Bunker in Malden, Massachusetts, it's like $5 or $7.50 a box, and you get a lot of guys in that. Hat's very affordable. And then I also thought it was really cool because in one of the photos, right below it, you get this really good imagery of the gun crew, the artillery crew, and their uniforms, they look good to me. But Ben actually posted, quote, he says, I was a bit heavy-handed with the varnish shading, so the uniforms are a lot darker than I was hoping for, but I'm happy with overall result, unquote. And as he said that, I looked and I said, you know, he's right, but it does look good. So you can kind of get some of that behind-the-scenes look at it. And Kurt, the guy who runs the painting challenge, he responds to every single post. Can you imagine how much time that takes? Every single post. 12 guys posting on a Monday, 72 people total per week, 72 posts, having to look at all of that, figuring out what the scoring is, how many points did they get for what they did, and then he posts a comment. So for this one, for example, Kurt says, quote, welcome back, Ben. It's always a pleasure to see your work in 20 millimeter 1/72 scale plastic. This gun team looks wonderful, and I particularly like your signature smoke from your pot fire artillerist, unquote. And then at the end, he says, you know, I'm giving you a base of 20 points, but he's going to give him extra points because he did some head swaps, some conversions. So I think it's really cool that participants awarded for that. And not only are they awarded the points based on that scoring system for what they painted, but then you give it a little something extra. If you went a little above and beyond, maybe you do something extra cool for basing. I bet Kurt would give a few extra points for that. Or perhaps, and I don't know about this because it's not painted, but perhaps your write-up is really, really cool. Maybe he says, hey, you know, I'll toss you a point because you did something really cool in this. As I said at the beginning of the show, this is a painting challenge. It's not a competition. It's not a contest. It's not who's the best painter. Does that mean that the people who participate in this are crappy painters? No, it does not. It means that they want to get the stuff done and they're committed, but that they're not worrying about show pieces necessarily. Something they're going to put on their desk or on a shelf somewhere, keep it covered in plastic in a case and protect it where they never interact with it. No, they're talking about painting things that they will use, that they will game with, right? And that's the point of all of this, at least for me. Wargaming is a game. We're gaming. We're having fun, and you can have fun a variety of different ways. But if we're gaming, that means you actually have to play the game, right? Whatever that game is. And if the game uses models, miniature figures, toy soldiers, whatever you want to call them, if it's using that stuff, you need to actually use the toys. You can't just keep them on a shelf. You have to open up your action figure and play with it. You can't keep it in on the card with the blister unsealed just because someday it might be worth money or whatever. You need to use it. Use your toys, right? So that's one of the main reasons why I am so excited about the painting challenge. And in fact, I'm a reluctant painter, right? So I'm probably not going to be someone who would do such a thing as this. However, it's not about who's the best painter, who can paint the fastest. This is the kind of painting event that someone like me could get into. So maybe you are a reluctant painter. Maybe you don't think you paint very well, or you don't think you paint very fast. Maybe you're new to painting models and you're just not sure. Or maybe you have a project you just want to get done and you never find the time. You're so busy. Your kids are always having to go to, you bring them sporting events to schools. You're busy at work. You're, get all these other commitments. You're always going out with friends or your significant other. It's like, oh, let's go do this. And this has to be done around the house or the apartment or whatever. So you don't find the time for that. This makes you find the time. It encourages you to do it. And so not only are you accomplishing whatever your project happens to be, but you're also helping out. You're helping charity because at least for the 5th annual painting challenge, you had to pay by painting and buying, of course, and then sending to Kurt a model, and then he donated $5 to the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. That's a great thing, right? So it's win-win-win. And I think that something like this is just, it's the way to go, and it gets people excited about this kind of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to the 6th annual painting challenge, and I think that am I going to paint in it? Probably not, but maybe someday I might. And of course, I would set a really low total for myself, because like I said, it takes me forever to paint. I'm sure if you haven't seen this, it's on our Facebook page, but there's this photo of a Flames of War objective marker. It's a fuel dump, I believe. And I think it looks nice. It took me over 12 hours to paint. Okay. Between painting, allowing coats to dry, painting again, varnishing and so forth, basing and all that. 12 hours for one Flames of War objective marker. That's ridiculous, right? And it doesn't look like it took 12 hours. It should look fantastic, right? It should be like, whoa, look what he painted. And instead it's, yeah, that's nice. And that's fine. You know, it doesn't need to be, woo. It needs to be, this looks good from 3 to 4 feet away on the top of the table is what it needs to do. And it does, but someone like me is probably not so good where there's a time limit on the painting. So that is basically what I have to say about the painting challenge. I just have a couple things that I do want to add about it that I have noted here that Kurt had told me about, because I had reached out to him and I said, Kurt, I want to talk about your painting challenge on an upcoming episode of Wargaming Recon. And, you know, could you just share a little bit about it with me? Because, of course, whenever I cover a topic, I do as much research as I can. I dig into the blogs, I look at the websites, I contact the people and all that kind of stuff just to try to get all my bases covered. But one of the things that he had said was that, of course, he's planning to continue this for some time anyway, and it takes a lot of time out of it, which is why, you know, once a year where it is. But his original reasoning that went with this is that he wanted to create the painting challenge because he wanted to, quote, from the very start, I really wanted to create an event that was not a painting competition. Instead, I wished to create an event where hobbyists from around the world, both new hands and old salts, could gather together, work separately, but towards a common goal and have a lot of laughs along the way, unquote. That's what it's all about. You have that sense of community. You have that camaraderie in that sense of belonging in helping one another. And are there rivalries? Yeah, but it's friendly. People challenge each other on the painting challenge to basically encourage them to do better, to do more, to really get into the spirit of it. Do they really mean that all the crazy stuff? No, they don't mean any of the crazy stuff. It's to encourage and help one another. It's not a, I'm better than you and you suck. No, it's let's build us all up together. Cause we're only as good as the weakest member of us. And we are the global community of wargamers. We're all part of this, of the hobby. And so we want to encourage people. We want to grow the hobby. We want to get more people involved with it. We want to make it fun for them. We want to make it something that they're going to want to do instead of something that they're going to feel obligated to do. Oh no, I have this event coming up. I have to paint this stuff. I have to get this together. I would much rather be outside playing or doing this or that, but I have to do this. So, oh, I guess. No, we want to be like, yeah, I can't wait to go do this. And that's why something like the painting challenge, I think, is fantastic. So I will have links in the show notes to the painting challenge blog. It's a Blogspot web address, but I'll have all that in the show notes, so you don't need to worry. I'll have a link to that artillery piece that I mentioned, and I'll also have a link to listener Adam's collection of posts on there. He did a variety of things. I was very pleasantly surprised because I thought I would find like a lot of, fancy war kind of stuff as listener. Aaron likes to call it with like the nice looking uniforms and everything, or some Civil War, Flames of War kind of stuff is really what I suspect. But there was naval ships and just all sorts of different things and Dark Ages and everything. It was really cool to see the wide array of things that Adam painted. And, Adam, he's skilled. He's painting a long time. The Fencing Frog blog is a place where he keeps track of all the things that he's painted and made, and of course all of his gaming adventures and everything. It's really cool. He has a Facebook page too as well, I believe, for the Fencing Frog blog. Just, it's a lot of cool things on there, and he's passionate about this, and that's, passion. That's important. You need to have that fire in your belly to say, yeah, let's go do this. And it's evident in the stuff that Adam does. So anyway, I'll have a link to Adam's entries on the 5th Annual Analog Hobbies Painting Challenge blog. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Don't worry, in the show notes. So I'll have that in there. And then let's move on. I want to do our mailbag section of the show. So I have a few things in mailbag, actually. And these are from, they're all from Facebook. As I said, we have a Facebook page, wargamingrecon.com/Facebook. And that'll bring you to our Facebook page. Predominantly, it's used to let people know when new episodes are coming out, but I put other things up there that might be of interest. Had something about a World War II naval carrier that was found basically intact, sunk on the bottom of the ocean floor, and other things I put up, and listeners share photos of things that they painted and all that kind of stuff. But listener David happened to comment on episode 131, and he said, quote, both the quality of the magazine and the nice array, listener David commented on episode 131 saying both, quote, both the quality of the magazine and the nice array of pledge perks will help AHM, Ancient History Magazine, break through the crowd and receive the funding it deserves. Yasho and Jasper are right to be cautious, as publishing has always been a bit of a gamble, but I do think this new venture will succeed. And, it's pretty cool for me to be reading that comment right now, because first I want to say thank you, David, for your comment on Facebook, but also because I'm very delighted to say that, and this is no surprise to me, from the first moment I was like, this is going to happen. I know it. In my gut, I know. But the Ancient History Magazine Kickstarter is a huge success. It ended, made a stretch goal, almost reached a second stretch goal. So anyone who's backed it, yours truly, I am so happy to have backed it. And on top of this, Karin Sawari Publishers will be offering subscriptions through their website. It's not something that Kickstarter was ever set up for, which is why it wasn't part of the Kickstarter project. But I think the plan all along was if it was successful and the magazine got funded, got kickstarted, they would then do subscriptions. So if you back the Kickstarter and you want to do a sub to Ancient History Magazine, just make sure that you let them know, because then your subscription will start with issue 2, because you get the first issue as part of your Kickstarter pledge, depending on what you pledge, right? So they're not shorting you. They're giving you extra stuff. You're getting a longer period on it. So that's really cool. Plus the issue is going to be even bigger because that was a stretch goal. They put more pages into it. And then depending on what you pledge, you're going to get, extra art, behind the scenes things, or books. And that was something I actually posted on Facebook, that I was having a hard time picking what book I want to get, because there's 4 choices at the level that I backed, and I still have plenty of time to choose this. But if you want to help me pick what book I should get, there were quite a few choices, and I don't know what to pick. But I could get Edge of Empire, Henchmen of Ares, Dacia, The Roman Wars, or a brand new book, The Art of Ancient Warfare. So a few different choices there. I don't know what I'm going to pick, but if you have some thoughts, send them to me, jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. And then also, let's see, we have, what else do I got? I got listener Joshua, who actually is the host of the Hobby Desk podcast down in Australia. He's the newest member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, but he said, quote, "I really enjoyed your last podcast," and he was speaking of episode 132. So thank you, Joshua. And I hope for those of you who haven't listened to episode 132 that you'll take the time to do so, because I think it was a very helpful episode. And then listener Adam, yes, Adam, who I've mentioned throughout this episode from the painting challenge and all his work with the Fence and Frog blog, he said in regards to episode 130, quote, "For those who might care to read an after action report of the game, you can go to wargamingrecon.com/Relief of Valdi, V-A-L-D-I. And that's the game that Adam ran at TotalCon 2015. It was a modified black powder that he had done. And it's a cool read, and it's clear that the people who played in it, the guys who played in it, had a lot of fun. So I think you should check that out again in the show notes. Don't worry about the link. I'll remind you of the link to the show notes though coming up. And then I have some announcements for all of you. So I want to remind everyone, because we're getting closer and closer and closer to this, that Huzzah 2015 will be here before you know it. It's in Portland, Maine, May 15th to the 17th, 2015. It's going to be at the Doubletree Inn Hotel in South Portland. The hotel rooms are booked at the discounted con rate. You can still get rooms elsewhere, and you can still come, of course, to play and participate in the convention. And if you've already booked your room but you haven't signed up for the con, or if you're just thinking about signing up for the con and you haven't done so, please do, because games are filling up very quickly. There's more people going to Huzzah this year than ever before. Or at least that's what I'm being told by one of the con organizers, Dean Emerson, says things are going fast. And Andre Kupa, who's been keeping track of who's going to what games and everything, it keeps a running tally on Facebook to let people know, like, this game's getting filled, this one's getting filled. So I only signed up for one game because my wife and the baby's coming. So we're doing, you know, kind of a family vacation slash stuff at the convention. So I only had time to sign up for one game. But I was very appreciative that I got into the game that I wanted to do. It's a musket and tomahawk rolls. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, the big news for me with Huzzah is that I'm going to be doing my very first live in-person recording of Wargaming Recon at the convention. That's right. So you can find out more by going to wargamingforums.com/HuzzahCon. That's HUZZAHCON. Again, in the show notes, don't worry. And I'm looking forward to it. I'll have more details on the exact day and the time. I believe it's a Sunday morning, but I'm not positive. But I'll have more details on that as we get closer. And then, who knows, might be possible to meet up with some people for a bite to eat, a lunch or something. We'll see how that goes. So it should be really cool. And I'm looking forward to seeing those of you there who are going. I know quite a few of you do go. And so I'm really excited about that. And I'm really excited about this opportunity and appreciative that Dean Emerson invited me to come and do the show there. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a first. It'll be okay. I'm a little nervous about it, of course, because it's usually just me in my office in my recording studio talking into a mic or talking to someone else on, you know, through the interwebs, and not so much doing it live, but it'll basically be me in my head anyway. I'm planning it'll be me with my laptop sitting in wherever they're putting me, streaming live through a Google Plus Hangout on Air, which you'll be able to see through our live page, wargamingrecon.com/live. And then I'll be doing stuff that people can watch as I do things. And then I'll probably take a break at some point and maybe get some listener feedback, some audience input on things. And then I hope to have Dean Emerson pop in and you'll see him on screen. We'll probably share the mic, right? And just talk a little bit about what's going on at Huzzah. And that's the plan, just kind of talk about what I've done and what's happened at Huzzah. So it should be a lot of fun. And then I have a couple other announcements. This one's actually really, really exciting and surprising to me, because no matter how long I've been doing the show, and I've been doing it since 2006, in my head, in my world, I'm still just one guy talking into a microphone that nobody watches and nobody listens to. It's just me doing this. And I'm just very humbled when I hear that anyone pays attention to what's going on here. I really am. And which is why I love your feedback. I love seeing your emails and your comments on Facebook and on YouTube and just all over the place. It means a lot to me. But I happened to be looking over some of the stats for the year, and I thought, oh, you know, we'll take a peek. And so far, we have something like, well, by the time that I'm recording this, which of course is, you know, at the end of April 2015, there's 7 episodes out, if my math is correct. And we're going to have 19 more, 26 episodes total, including 2 best of. So that means I'm about a fourth of the way through the 2015 podcast season. Well, so far, over 8,800 people have listened to the show. And that's more than an average of 1,200 people an episode, which it floors me. 1,200 people, 1,200 of you listen to this. And I think that's fantastic. I love it. It's just, I'm surprised and shocked and humbled and giddy and it, thank you is really what it is. But I want to say that if this continues, if this trend continues, it's very likely that by the end of 2015, that Wargaming Recon could reach over 32,000 people. That's a lot of people, right? That's more than some small towns. So what I want to ask is I want to ask a favor of all of you. I want to ask for your help to make that happen. Please tell your friends, your local game stores, your gamers, everyone to listen to the show. They can subscribe via iTunes, which for me is the best way to do it because that way you're guaranteed of always getting the most recent episodes. That's wargamingrecon.com/iTunes. You can use your favorite podcast app or whatever way they like. There's Stitcher Radio. You can watch on YouTube. You can go through the website, wargamingrecon.com, whatever way that they like. Just get them to do it. And if you want, I have business cards. I'm happy to send business cards out, you know, whatever. But this isn't just a selfish reason for let's see how many people can listen to the show. There's something to this, okay? If by the end of 2015, the show reaches 32,000 people, if that happens, what I'm going to do is, as my way of saying thanks, is I'm going to make a special donation to the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon to benefit Boston Children's Hospital. So this is why it's very important for me, for your help to spread the word and get more people to listen to the show. Because if we get to 32,000 people by the end of 2015, which I think can definitely happen, I think we can get more than that. But if that happens, together, all of us, we will then, through my donation, be able to help some kids in need to get that medical care that they desperately need, but that they can't afford. And I've talked about this before in previous years when I've covered the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon, which I will be doing again in 2015. I'll actually be doing the Gamerthon. I'll be covering it on an episode. And I've talked about how important it is and how humbled I am about the outpouring of support from all of you and the donations and everything. But this is something extra that we can do. And it's easy. All you got to do is something that you're already doing. Listen to the show. Tell your friends about the show. Get them to listen to it. And the more people listen, the closer we get to that 32,000 people mark. And once we get there, I make that extra donation. And then we help some more kids. And then they get the care that they need that they can't afford. So let's help some people, right? Let's help some kids. And I want to give you a sneak peek. For those of you who are listening to the podcast, you'll be able to see this in the show notes. And for those of you watching live or watching the YouTube video at a later date, you'll be able to see this now. So listener Dave, who heads up the Wargames at Battleshades group on Facebook, he's been a huge supporter. And I'm beyond thankful to him for all sorts of things. Last year, on his own initiative, he set up an eBay auction. And he auctioned off a model to raise money for what I was doing with the Extra Life Gamerthon. And he helped out and donated the proceeds. And so this year, he's painted the model and sent it to me so I could do an auction. And here it is. It's actually a limited edition. And you can see it's a limited edition model that you can't get anymore. It's from the Battle Games Magazine Combat Stress Appeal models. And these were, you could buy these, they're out of print, you can't get them anymore. Dave painted this, and he sent it to me all the way from the UK, and my photo will be much better than anything you will have seen on YouTube or anywhere. But it's a beautiful model. It's, like I said, it's limited edition, custom sculpted. It's beautiful. It's a World War I Tommy, and he's in front of a grave. You know, someone had died and there's a field of poppies kind of around him. And I mean, it's gorgeous. It's touching. It's moving, and it speaks in a resounding way about an issue and about the casualties of war and how we're all just people and how we just need to love and care about each other. So I think that's a great message, especially when you talk about helping kids who can't help themselves. The parents and families can't help them, but we can. So that'll be happening in the auction later on this in 2015 when we get closer to the actual 24-hour, extra live 24-hour in Gamerthon. So, but I wanted to give a sneak peek of that now, just because I was kind of talking about stuff. And then I want to remind all of you about Patreon. Do have that Patreon account set up. If you get value out of what I'm doing here at Wargaming Recon, I would appreciate if you would support it through Patreon. Costs as little as $1 an episode. That's roughly $2 a month, less than a cup of coffee. And think of it as a tip jar saying, you know, Jonathan's doing good. I like that. Here you go. And depending on how much gets raised in that, I can do extra things to make episodes better for you. I make things a little easier and I do more for the show. So that's really cool. And then I just want to also let you know, I'm working on some guests for upcoming episodes. I'm working on getting the Sutherlands back on. Has some scheduling conflict, but and then back on. And John actually recently celebrated a birthday. So happy birthday to you, John Sutherland. Many happy returns of the day. And I'm also very excited to say that Joshua Shoebridge is going to be coming on from the Hobby Desk podcast. We're still working on details when that is, but he's going to be coming on and talking about what's going on in Wargaming in Australia and the land down under and the Memorabula Wargaming Society. Please excuse me, Australian listeners, if I just butchered how you say that, because I'm an American and I'm not so good with the pronunciations, okay? So I have them coming up. And then on our episode guide, you can see other things that are coming up. And I'm actually really excited about the next episode of Wargaming Recon. And I'm excited because it's going live, of course, as all episodes are, which you can get to from my live page, wargamingrecon.com. But I'm very excited because I'm having two special guests on. I'm having Troll in the Corner head honcho Ben Gerber on because he's going to be talking about the Kickstarter project for his very first game that's not self-published. It's called Swamped. It's a board game. And then one of the co-founders of Bellwether Games, which is the publishers of this game, who are back, you know, organizing the Kickstarter, is going to be coming on to talk about it too. So that'll be really fun. And you'll be able to watch that live on our live page. It'll be happening on May 9th. It'll start at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time and whatever that is in your time zone. And it'll be about an hour long. We'll be talking about the game, about the Kickstarter, and all that kind of cool stuff. So you should definitely check that out. And I think you will enjoy it. And I believe that's all. Yeah, it looks like that's all I have for you this time on Wargaming Recon. So as always, I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode. I want to thank the live viewers. Don't forget, you can watch live if you're available and stuff. Go to the live page. There's all sorts of cool stuff. You can see what's going on. You can look at the calendar for upcoming live recordings. And then there's the chat room, so you can interact with me. You can interact with all the listeners, have that sense of community, right, which is really, really cool. And I want to remind you of the show notes. Head on over to wargamingrecon.com/WR134. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR134. Have links to everything that I covered, the painting challenge, the artillery, links to listener Adam's entries on there. It'll have a photo of listener Dave's beautifully painted model for our Extra Life charity auction that I'll be doing later on in 2015. And just, it'll have links and links everywhere, right? Just all that cool stuff. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Like I said, long time and new listeners alike. There'll be more episodes coming in 2015 here. This is the 8th episode for the year by my counting. And so that means there's 18 more to go. We have a lot of cool stuff happening, cool guests, and cool content. And so I just want to say before I sign off that no matter how busy you are painting, how many painting challenges and competitions you're doing, how many models you have to base and get that Woodland Tufts done just right, that I hope no matter how much glue's on your hand and how much varnish you're doing, that you will always know that you have to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly, new episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com. Home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com.